Welcome to Alex Nanny, the Real Women of Vacation Rentals. I'm Alex.
And I'm Val.
And this episode is part of a new series that we're calling Alex and Friends. And today, Valerie Genghis, who is the CEO and founder of Juniper Holiday and Home, is my friend. And she truly is a great friend of mine. So this is an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show. Valerie, welcome.
Thanks. And I'm super excited about this new adventure for you.
This is going to be fun.
Amazing.
This conversation has been certainly a long time coming. And I know my life has been changed for the better since I met you back in February. We met at the Keystone Retreats with Matt Landau. And since then, have become friends and have gotten to be in person at several of these events and just have enjoyed learning about you and seeing your business grow. But for our audience that may not know you, can you give a little bit of your background and experience and kind of what led you to where you are today?
Sure. So I grew up in the restaurant business and bar business. That's what my dad did. Typical Greek immigrant story. All the women and men in my family have all been in the restaurant and bar business. So I kind of didn't know anything else but that. And I started working in restaurants when I was 15 and then eventually ran one of my father's restaurants. So I've always been in hospitality. I feel like I've lived it. Like even in our house, we always made sure to like have the freezer packed with food in case guests came over, and large dinner parties and lots of, you know, tents outside with parties. It was like hospitality was kind of at the center of my life with my parents. I ran one of his restaurants for 15 years. And then we ended up selling all the stores. And after that, I took a 2-year break and worked for a non-for-profit called the David Lynch Foundation. Those 2 years, I worked directly with Oprah Winfrey at her studios in Chicago. She was interested in bringing transcendental meditation to her company in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. So we did, in fact, bring the program in. We brought it into a major medical school. And then I started speaking at different corporations around Chicago and then eventually the country. That was really fun. That was a nice break from hospitality. But eventually I wanted to get back into hospitality. I didn't know what that was going to look like. So I started doing real estate, working with a real estate developer. And during COVID, we partnered and started a vacation rental company. At first, we bought 14 homes for ourselves, 11 in Southwest Michigan and 3 in Vail. I learned the business myself, put everything on the OTAs, created a little website, got myself a housekeeper and a maintenance guy, and just learned it. And then organically, people in the neighborhood started asking us if we could manage their homes. And yeah, we grew up pretty quick. We went, last year I had 12 homes, and this year I have over 60.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing growth in a very short amount of time.
And really, it was organic. I mean, I don't even know. Sometimes I'm like, how did I get here?
Yeah. Well, I want to know how you did get there. But I think before we kind of dive into that, a couple of things that stood out that you just said about your experience in the restaurant business. There have been so many people I've met just even recently that have said that some of the best workers that they have in their company also come from a background in restaurants. And mm-hmm. I think that just, to your point, it truly speaks to the hospitality that you learn and, you know, dealing with the public and creating that experience for them and what that looks like. And I think that's really interesting how you transition that into the vacation rental side. How do you say it? The meditation, the
transcendental meditation.
Transcendental meditation. Definitely want to put that on the back burner as one of our conversations for today, because I have a lot of questions on that. But let's stay on vacation rentals just for right now. As you've grown from the 12 to the 60, what does that look like? I mean, it's not just you anymore, right? Like, do you have a team behind you? And like, how have you grown to be able to handle that influx in properties?
So I wasn't interested in working with the public at all. And I don't think I really understood what this business was. I just thought we were going to have investment properties for our own portfolio and that I would design them the way that I wanted. I would run them the way that I wanted. And with this background in hospitality, like, I feel like customer service is just, you know, like who I am. I just knew I wanted things done a certain way. And so I did them because they were for myself, for my own homes. And I just put these like processes in place for myself. But then I saw like, wow, this is really working. And the first client that came to me wanted to buy one of our homes and then keep us on as their property managers. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to start selling these houses, but he made me an offer. Like I just could not refuse. It was over the top. So I started working with him and his family. And I was like, wait, I learned this whole business. Like I can do this. And so once I made the switch in my mind that yes, in fact, I would take clients and I would go down this road, then it was like, I had a new mindset. I sold all the houses, kept the property management contracts in place. And then I was like, you are creating a business. You're going to have employees. Things are going to work a certain way. You're going to find a mentor and they're going to teach you how to do things. And like, you're going to do this right. So it was like a mind shift, you know, it was like, these are no longer your personal homes. Like now you are responsible for people's super expensive homes. You're going to do it and you're going to do it right. And at the top of that list was creating a brand, you know, that was so important to me. And really this goes back, like, I think everything goes back to our childhoods. And like, I have always wanted to own hotels. I wanted a hotel with a restaurant and a lounge. There was something about this like overnight experience, my obsession with hotels, that like kind of piece of the hospitality business. So I thought this was a happy medium. And I just went, once I decided it, there was no turning back.
So you sold all the properties that you own. So you don't own any of them anymore. Okay. Wow. Yeah. That's a really interesting turn because I've met several people and most that are coming into this industry knew that they, similar to you, they bought properties during COVID, they were managing their own. And now they're just realizing like, I can actually just manage for other people and still, you know, make a very good living on doing that. Keep my own properties and, you know, maybe buy more, but it doesn't have to be that I'm buying everything that I manage. So I don't know that I've talked to anybody that's gone in the direction that you have of you got rid of that inventory and you became a full-blown property manager. And when I say that, I mean, you have really, in a very short amount of time, amassed an incredible amount of information and connections within the industry that, I mean, I think you've been at every event since COVID and it's hard to find anybody that doesn't know you, which I've been in this for 14 years now. And I think couple of years, you really just kind of jumped right to the beginning and are part of really important conversations. And that obviously shows your dedication to wanting to be part of this. And I love what you said about trying to find a mentor and, you know, understanding that you know what you don't know and that it's going to be easier to get to where you want to go if you have somebody that's leading the way.
Yeah. I made up my mind. I was like, I have to learn everything I possibly can. And I looked around this group of amazing individuals and I was like, I'm going to find the biggest, baddest people that I can talk to and ask questions. And I wasn't shy because I was like, I have to learn. Like how I can't learn in isolation. Like I have to talk to people that have done this and have done it well and just like literally ask for help. And it's just like anyone that asks me for help, I never say no. I will take a phone call, a Zoom call, give them information. Like, I just think that we're a group of people. It's probably why we're in hospitality that like to help people.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it comes naturally, I think, to all of us.
Right. Yeah. And we all love to connect. So, I mean, the value of those relationships is what keeps most of us in this industry. I get asked that all the time of like, gosh, you've been in it for so long. Like, do you just love vacation rentals? And I do. I love hospitality, but I think a lot of it is it's the relationships that you form and it's the people that you've met and the things that you've been able to accomplish together that's what also makes it really special. And at the end of the day, when you realize that you're marketing or you're selling something that is making somebody on the other side, those guests and those memories, something that they wouldn't have if you weren't part of that moment in time for them. So how you make that memorable is definitely something that we all think about and how that relates back to guest experience. But I do want to touch on, because we were just recently, I had you on a panel in Orlando at VRMA. And I know when I told you the subject of the topic, you seemed a little hesitant about what we were going to talk about. The topic was cathedral thinking and how cathedral thinking applies to vacation rentals. And I remember you said to me, Alex, we're drinking wine right now, and I don't know why you're talking about cathedrals and ancient Romans. This makes no sense.
That was hilarious. You're like, no, let me tell you about the ancient Romans. I was like, what? We're at a party right now.
It was very off brand. I mean, I guess you could say for what we typically talk about, but at the same time, I've really, just kind of dove in head first into this topic and really bringing it back to what I feel is very important within the industry that's not being talked about enough. And what you just touched on is the brand. And I think everybody talks about building a brand, but very few companies really are, because they're very much focused on homeowner marketing, building out their portfolios. And that's very important, but homeowners are going to be a small amount of people that you actually touch in this process. Mm-hmm. The guest audience that you have is where you can really scale that and get to much larger masses. And that's where brands are built. But brands are built by the guests that you serve. I truly believe that the homeowners, your employees, your culture is all part of that. But in scaling a brand, it definitely comes down to the guests. We are going to be doing a different version of that panel at the upcoming women's conference. And thank goodness you said yes to coming back to dive into this topic. But I tell us one thing that you've done and that is been part of the cathedral thinking mindset, of something that you've put in place for the business that, and cathedral thinking for the majority of people who wouldn't know, and I didn't know prior to learning this within the last couple months, cathedral thinking basically means the things that you put in place now that you may not ever see the fruits of. So when, ancient Roman days, when these generations were building these magnificent cities, they knew that what they were building, they would not necessarily get to see, but that the future generations would get to benefit from. And while that's a lot longer term than most of us are thinking in vacation rentals, it's, I think you have to be a little bit more aggressive and push the limit to get to where it really needs to be, because most of us are thinking very much short-term in the moment, how to get a booking immediately. And if that means just going to Vrbo and Airbnb and cutting your rates, let's do it. We need the booking. And mm-hmm. That's, again, not how brands are built. So let's hear an example of something that you've put in place that was using that mindset of a long-term strategy in what we live in the short-term world.
So again, going back to my childhood, my dad started off with a franchise. It was called Yankee Doodle Dandy. They were like fast food places in Chicago.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
So I had that, like, my childhood was filled with this branding of this franchise. To this day, everybody in Chicago knows Yankee Doodle Dandy. It lived on. And then they rolled into higher end restaurants called Bailey's. Someone yesterday just wrote me because they found this thing on Facebook about people talking about like the vibe at Bailey's and how they loved it. Like the name lives on. So again, I was raised in a way that like you stay consistent, you stay on brand, you create like an energy around whatever business you're doing. And like you pour yourself into that. It was important the way things looked, our consistency with our food, our wait staff, the way they were dressed, like every single thing mattered. And so that's how I've been trained, like how to think about business. So when it came to Juniper, I knew that I wanted a certain look. I knew that I wanted a certain energy in the business. Everything from our marketing to the website to my staff, I wanted it to be consistent. And like this vision of mine, I wanted it poured into every single thing we did, even down to the original houses that we bought. I had a designer come in and make the homes look really beautiful, pick the same photographer for every single house. There was a consistency that started from the beginning. And now I can see the ripple effect because people are like, oh, Juniper, Like, yeah. We didn't do a ton of advertising. We flew under the radar. It was word of mouth, but I could feel the energy rippling out into this area. And now, I mean, now people are like, I want to work with Juniper.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah. And like, I know all that stuff added up, but really it just started as a vision. And again, back to my love of hotels, like I always looked to like the Ritz-Carlton. I love the one and only brand. There's certain brands. Yes,
yeah, Pamela.
They're gonna live on forever. Like that is like the star to look at. So I guess this is where it all came from in my mind. And yeah, if I'm gonna do something, I want it to live on and I want to be proud of it.
Absolutely. I did not know the story about your dad and the franchise restaurant in Chicago. So that's super interesting and definitely gives me more perspective on how you've built what you have built. And I think that's really important for everybody to think about because, I mean, how many franchise restaurant brands are there? Thousands, right?
Yeah. But
they've still all made a brand for themselves and they haven't, there isn't just restaurant.com that's taken all the food and put it into one place. And so I think as an industry, we don't need to look at ourselves as there's no way we're going to beat Airbnb. Yes, we can. I mean, there's definitely a way.
Different. When you look at one and only, they don't have that many resorts. I think they have like 14 resorts, yeah. But like, when I think of them, I'm like, that's the best. Like that is, oh my gosh, if I could be one and only. And the town that I grew up in outside of Chicago was the home of McDonald's. So
You know,
my neighbors were the head of advertising or like the vice president. Yeah, everyone was McDonald's. My prom was at McDonald's. You know, the corporation was there. So I kind of grew up also in the neighborhood with my friend's parents that worked for McDonald's, like knowing about branding because everything was McDonald's. Like you were never going to forget those golden arches.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just baked into my soul at this point to work that way.
Yep. I think so. And I would agree for myself as well. That's we definitely have similar ways that we're looking at branding. And I remember before I had met you, I started seeing your posts on LinkedIn and as you know, we became friends and I thought, gosh, one, you're talking about things that are really interesting. And I think your posts were really well written and they were all on brand, but like your messaging was always very consistent and you could be talking about different topics within vacation rentals or business or, you know, whatever it was you were talking about, but your voice was always very consistent. And I think that's where it comes down to the messaging and branding that, like you said, I mean, you had 12 properties that's grown to 60. That doesn't happen by chance. That is your brand. I mean, that your brand is your reputation and your name should precede you before you walk into a room, whether you're a company or a person. And that's what's happened, right? I mean, like now homeowners are asking who manages your property and they refer back to you and then guests do the same thing. And that's what really creates a viral experience of building a business. And I think you've done an incredible job in that. And in such a short amount of time is the most amazing part.
It's been one of the longest years of my life. As we know, like anyone that goes into this industry is like, wow, you must have a screw loose. This is very hard. I think it's harder than the restaurant and bar business. It's a lot of moving pieces and you're dealing with a product that's really expensive. And, you know, you have a client's home, it's $3 million. Like you better take care of that. It's a lot of pressure. It's not someone coming in for a burger and a beer and leaving that night. So this is different. But one of my favorite quotes is like, how a person does anything is how they do everything. And I think
absolutely. Yeah.
That's your brand too. Like if you are authentic, and you pour your vision into your brand and then you stay consistent and you're kind to people. And like, this is who you are, whether it's the gal pouring you coffee in the morning or, you know, your manager, it doesn't matter. It's this consistency of like, this is the brand. This is, I represent the brand. I care about what people think of me as far as good character and honesty and all those things. And it all matters. It all gets baked into the product.
Yeah. And I believe that 100% as well. And I think it's interesting when you see somebody who in their career or at work, they might seem that they are super organized and they've got everything together. And then you look in their car or you go to their house and it's a complete mess and a disaster. And no, how you do everything is how you do anything. And yeah, it's unusual that you can be able to be truly successful for the long term if you are succeeding in one area but not in another area. And the core principles of, if you know that things need to be neat and tidy and well organized in general to make your business succeed, if you're not applying that to your home life and your personal life, something is in misalignment there, right?
100 Oh my God. 100% Someone needs to write a book about that. Like, if your personal life is in the toilet and you are not, none of us are perfect, right? There's
right,
always,
of course, going on.
Yeah. But you have to have some self-awareness and say like, I need to work on this and I need to get better, because it all matters. It's all connected. Like, you cannot, your personal life cannot be a disaster and then you're going to walk into work and shine. It just doesn't work that way. You can't hide the pieces of yourself.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So I think this is actually a good time to transition. If you're watching on YouTube, this is Valerie's book. It's called In Deep Shift. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, it is Friday. It is 5:30. So yes, we are enjoying a glass of wine as we have this conversation. It's been a long day.
I think this should
day.
Be part of your gig, like for every interview. Even yeah, if it's like 10 in the morning.
Hoda and Kathy, right? They drink wine every morning. I definitely could not drink wine in the morning, but maybe I'll just record at night. That'll be my new thing. I wear sunglasses at night. I record podcasts at night. Why not? But so this book, when I met you at Keystone Retreats back in February, you were telling me how you were an author. And I thought, that's cool. And you hand me this book. And I'm like, whoa, okay. You're not just like an author that you've just got this like self-published book. You are a legit author. And it's called In Deep Shift. It says, Riding the Waves of Change to Find Peace, Fulfillment, and Freedom. And after we got home from the retreat, I'm an audio gal. So I got it on audio and I was so excited to realize that it was you reading the audio book. So that immediately made it a million times better. Besides Amber Hurdle, she did audio on her books too. But besides you two, I've never listened to an audio book that I knew the author that was reading the book.
And that's hard to do that too. I'm sure Amber will tell you. It's like,
oh my gosh.
You're in a room, yeah, a studio for 3 days with a producer and you're reading and they're like, stop. Because it's, you don't realize like reading a book out loud like that, it's mentally kind of challenging, but it's
I can only imagine. Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine, but you did an incredible job. And I think the way that you speak generally, you have an inflection in your voice that is very authentic and you're a great storyteller. So it makes sense that you would also be an author, but, tell us about this book. I believe in signs and I believe that, you know, you and I met at a unique time and in my career and in my life that I just the book was important to me and continues to be. But tell us a little bit about the book and why you wrote it and just kind of what it's about. And then I'm happy to jump in and share some of my thoughts that I've got written down, because I went back and I re-listened to it this week ahead of this episode. And now knowing you more than I did when I first listened to it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this makes so much sense now. So
yeah. I believe that everybody is going to have a deep shift in their life. Sometimes it could happen two or three times, but really there's like one big kahuna. And for me, it was when my mom died. I completely lost my mind. She was my best friend. She was my lifeline. And when she died after a 14-year battle with stage 4 breast cancer, it's like, I couldn't make it. I was drowning. I became suicidal. I gave up. I was like so destroyed. I had never, ever known pain like that. I was always a really happy person. I could handle a lot. I was a sensitive person, but I don't know. Somehow when you're young, you can kind of blow through it. But it took me down. And then through like a friend of a friend, they suggested that I learn to meditate. I also wasn't sleeping. I mean, the whole thing was just like a disaster. So I learned to meditate. And in one meditation, the form that I learned, like you're actually taught how to meditate. And in one meditation, I went from suicidal to like a state of ecstasy. My entire reality shifted And 2 weeks later, I'm working with Oprah Winfrey. I have a new life. I'm thriving. Like, all this cool stuff is happening to me. And so I feel like I received a miracle. And from that point on, these, I call them gifts of intuition and authenticity and all these cool things that I felt that I had as a child and as a teenager kind of like blossomed out of me. And I started really following my gut and truly acting upon, you know, thoughts and ideas that I had. And it really opened a whole new world for myself. And then I began like speaking about all these concepts, and it was a real game changer for me. But what I found was there was a lot of other people in the world that were having the same experiences as me, knowing things, you know, feeling really sensitive in the world, maybe like wanting to change careers, groups of friends, moving there, but they felt kind of paralyzed because unless you're talking to other people that really understand this concept, it can be very confusing and overwhelming. You feel kind of isolated. So after years of talking about it, I just decided, well, I'm going to write about it so I can reach other people. And at least they'll know that there's another person in the world that gets it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you and I have talked about this, you know, offline, that people need your light. And it is
all of us.
Yeah. And for you, I mean, you've had a lot of tragedy. I mean, not just your mom, but your brother passed away. And I think you said 9 family members within a certain amount of time had passed away. I mean, that's an incredible amount of grief to deal with. But as you explain in the book, I mean, your mom dying was probably the hardest, but that was the first. And then that gave you, because you were able to get through this, it gave you a different perspective on the other deaths that happen, as terrible as that is. But I mean, it changed your perspective, I think. And also that your perspective, you are so positive as a human being. And just as I've shared today, I mean, like meeting you was a very important part that I feel like we were kind of destined to become friends, but
I know that
it was going to happen one way or another, but I know that there are many people in your life that would say, that would also agree with that, that you sharing your story and being vulnerable has helped other people be able to get through something challenging, but then also realize that we're all put on this planet to serve a purpose. And sometimes if that purpose is sharing a difficult experience, then if it helps somebody else, that's the fulfillment that helps you 100%. Get through the original pain of what that situation was.
Totally. And as far as the vacation rental industry, it's very clear to me that this is the path God, the universe, whatever, put us on so we can touch all these people. It's not about like, yeah, I got this business and I got these employees and I'm like making some money. No, you're like literally creating magic in all of these people's lives. It's a big deal. And I think, okay, maybe we weren't given the path of, you know, curing cancer or something, but this is another path that we've been given to bring light into people's lives. And that's how I look at my job. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually a huge gift. And so it does bring me a lot of happiness, especially when I think about it that way. And sometimes I have to remind myself that's what's happening when I want to like punch someone in the head. But, you know, it's, okay, this is the path that you've been given. Bring the light.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, when we were at Keystone, one of the activities that we did there was they dumped Legos out on tables in front of us, and we were in our
group.
How
horrified were you when
I was I almost ran for the door. I'm like, I'm not good at games. Let's be honest. Like, I'm not a game kind of person. Like, I'm not into Legos, but who knew? That was my favorite part of the retreat. And I've told many people this, that I was so surprised. And another Valerie that was at the retreat and also has become a great friend is Valerie Hawkins. And both me and Valerie Hawkins, both when they dropped the Legos, I think both of us went about as white as my dresses that I'm wearing right now. And I thought, I'm not going to be able to build something that is at all resembling what they're asking us. And basically what they were asking was to build something that resembled your next big leap. And the next big leap is a kind of a cornerstone foundation of these, this first iteration of Keystone Retreats, of, you know, figuring out something personally, professionally that you want to tackle and working on it within this group atmosphere, to get different perspectives, because, you know, we all, we're with our families, we're with our spouses, our friends, and we've told everybody what we want to do, and we're getting, you know, similar, you know, we're getting their thoughts on things, but they all know us so well that it's, you know, sometimes it can be, you need a different perspective. And I think that's what Keystone Retreats is for a lot of people, which is wonderful. But so we did this exercise, and we had to build what that big leap looked like in Legos. And I was pleasantly surprised that I was able to perfectly depict, I couldn't believe it, what I had in my mind that I didn't even know that I had in my mind. And that's
the power. It was pretty extraordinary.
That's the power of creativity too, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one of the things, going back to the cathedral thinking, like one of the components of cathedral thinking is creativity. And sometimes you don't know how creative you are or what's truly inside of you until you have an output that you don't typically, I don't play with Legos. I'm not a, my design and my ability to oversee from a marketing perspective is oversight. I'm not the actual designer. I'm not the pen to the paper in a lot of cases. So for me, that was just kind of crazy doing that. But that exercise was huge. And I think when I read your book after being at the retreat, I'm like, gosh, was there, and I know what this was not the case, but it's almost like your book was exactly about a lot related to that exercise of like, what is that next big leap? And like being able to say, you're going to go for it, even if you don't know if it's going to work or not. I mean, you're going to burn the
part of it.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to burn the bridges and you're going to do it. And that's what you definitely did in COVID, to say, okay, I'm actually going to sell the properties and now I'm going to go manage and get more. I mean, that's a big life change, a huge life change.
I feel like, at this point, I've just become that person. Like when I quit at Harpo Studios, it's because I knew in my mind 100% I wanted to write my first book. It didn't make sense. I wasn't going to make any money. I sold everything I owned and I quit my job and I moved to a farm in Iowa. And I just like knew, I just knew to do it. But when I told everybody and when I quit my job and stuff, everybody was like, are you insane? But when you connect to your intuition like that, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks because you know. And looking back, it was like the best decision I ever made. So the only time I feel like I get in trouble is when I don't listen to my knowing. So I think when you start connecting to that, you will make big leaps. You will do things that are like, you'll surprise yourself. And that is when life gets really interesting because Absolutely. You have the balls to like, burn the boats.
Yeah,
I'm going to go for it because you're already tapped into that energy that really makes the earth spin and you're getting the information and then you just got to listen to it. It's like, I almost felt like I stopped thinking for a long time because I was getting the information and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to do it. Even if it didn't make sense, it always turned out cool.
Yeah. And so I'm definitely a huge believer in recognizing signs. And I think that comes
from the signs. They're obvious.
They become obvious. Yeah. If you're in the mindset to be able to, you have to be able to see them and you can't be, you know, if you're stuck in a negative place, it's sometimes that can be a challenging thing. But I think you and I look at spirituality in a very similar manner. But as you're seeing signs, and you start going in one direction, sometimes you can find out, and this is a part of your book, that you wake up and you realize that everything you thought was wrong. And
right.
that, but everything prior to that point, you could have been thinking that you were following signs, but then, okay, so hypothetical situation, you wake up and you realize everything you thought was wrong. And now you realize you're in this big shift. And what does that look like? I mean, what do you do next when you've realized that what you thought was not correct?
Yeah. So when I learned that first day, when I learned to meditate, when I opened my eyes, I looked at my teacher and I said, everything I thought I knew was wrong. Like, it's just wrong. I call it opposite land. And that like when super confusion steps in, because your reality is shattered. Like you're so connected with this false narrative, and then it's shattered, never to return. Like you can't go backwards. Like once you see something and you know something, there's no going back. Like that's over. So that's when things get really difficult, because you're confused. You have to relearn how to live. It's like, it's a whole new ball game. But on the other side of that uncomfortable period of time, that's where the magic lies. Because then you have a new life. Then you're taking chances. Then you're meeting really cool people. Doors start opening where you never saw the doors before, right? The doors of perception. So that is my favorite part of this whole sequence of events, because you got to get through that hump, and there is help out there. There's other people that have gone down that road before you. They can explain it to you. And then you just kind of start playing with the signs and playing with like chances in your life. And you start seeing like, oh, I followed my gut and that really worked out. And I met that really cool person. And then they like offered me a job, and it's just like, boom, boom, boom. It keeps going.
Well, and it's about you realize that you can bet on yourself. And you start seeing those signs. Yes. Yeah.
You can bet on yourself.
You don't have to have it all figured out. I guess that's kind of the main thing, is you can bet on yourself to know you're going to figure it out. But I definitely understand your perspective that you talk about in the book of like when something like this happens. And I know for me, for sure, I think there's going to be probably a few big shifts in my life. And I know one of those was when Roy passed away, my former boss at Condo World. And oh God, I always get teared up on it. After that year following his death, I learned so much in that year about myself, and then, you know, just the past and the future, that not in a bad way, but like you look at yourself differently. You look at other relationships you've had differently. And sometimes you wake up and you're like, wow, like I feel so much, either I don't care as much about things that used to bother me, or I care way more about things that in the opposite direction. And it is like, that is truly a sign of the big shift. Yeah.
Yeah. There's hallmarks to this. And from my understanding of what you've told me about him, like he showed you true love, not romantic love, but like just human to human love, respect. He was really someone to look up to. And like, what a gift that you had this person in your life. How could that not change you?
Right.
No, yeah. But then you felt the pain of his loss. And then like, then it really begins, because that pain makes you go inward. Because again, you start thinking everything I thought I knew was wrong, because my reality just got shattered. And so it takes those breaks, those like that pain sometimes, to really open up your eyes. And then if you have a new life, and yes, it can happen 2, 3, 4, 5 times in a lifetime, but it's usually something that really shakes the foundation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It makes a lot of sense. So on the meditation part, I'm very interested in this. And I remember sharing with you, I think we were at NWVRP in Reno, and we had a conversation about this, about meditation. And I'm curious, because I think there's probably plenty of people listening to this that are also in that boat that I am, that I've tried to meditate. I definitely have not been able to successfully stick with anything. But what did that process look like for you? Because you said that once you got into this new form of meditation, that was like a game changer for you. So what did that look like? I mean, would you have any tips?
It was like my heart and my mind cracked open. My creativity, like everything was like unbelievable. I don't know. There was so much more inside of me that I couldn't even see before. And when I got really quiet with this form of meditation, like it just all started coming out. It's pretty interesting, because I obviously have a ton of friends that meditate, but like watching Matt Landau, who does transcendental meditation now, it's called TM. I'm like just sitting back and just watching it all flow out of him, because that's what happens when you get in touch with who you really are. So other forms of meditation, like I know a lot of people that do like Buddhist meditations, they do mindfulness or guided meditations. The one that I do, it's a mantra-based meditation. So it's like a sound that you follow. It makes it really easy. I think I've worked with thousands of people now that have learned everyone can do it. It's, I don't know, it's super easy. So I like easy. I don't like complicated. So it just worked for me instantly. Yeah.
What's an actual tip though? Like if I were going to start this weekend, what's the first thing that I do?
Yeah. So again, this form of meditation is taught. It's taught over 4 days. It's like okay. An hour and a half each day. Okay.
So there's like courses on this or.
Yeah. Like you'll have an actual teacher, like every TM teacher in the whole world has been taught exactly the same. So okay. You go to tm.org, that's their website. And then you just find a teacher near you and you just sign up and you just learn.
Wow.
And then you know how to meditate forever. I mean, it's as easy as brushing your teeth. It's just like no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to check that out. So I
always tell people this is what I do. This is what came to me. So I said, yes, but like, maybe that's not right for you. Maybe yoga is right for you or mindfulness. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's something that takes you beyond your mind, you know, quiets your thoughts and like takes you deep into your soul because that's where like the good stuff is. It's opposite land. It's not in the noise. It's not through talking. It's through silence. It brings you inward and then you like unlock this magic inside of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I know for myself personally, even without meditating, there are certain things that I do that I know I'm like, if I need to think about something, like I go for a run at this outdoor park that's in Myrtle Beach. That's like, it's actually kind of feels like you're in the mountains. Like it's in the woods and it's very peaceful and it takes me about an hour and a half. And like, that's, I'll go there with something that I want to think about and I've got my music on, but it's like, when you just have that time totally by yourself, like there's something about that.
Runners talk about it all the time. Runners get in that, they're going behind. We should ask David Angotti about it because he ran that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
They go beyond the mind and then you're in the zone, right? So that's when I think people get like super addicted probably to running, not only for the health benefits, but because they're probably transcending.
Yep.
It's like you would in meditation. So yeah, it doesn't, as long as you can get there, then you should do whatever it is that takes you there.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe in that very much. I know just in the last year or so that I've been working from home, you know, one thing that I loved about driving to the office was just even the time in the car. I mean, sometimes it's the time in the car by yourself that, you know, that's uninterrupted time for every single day you're going to have it. And it's that consistency of being alone with your thoughts. But
opposite of what we're taught. It's in the slowing down. It's in the quiet that you really gain more. So it's just always think of it as the opposite. It's not being on your computer all day and constantly talking. It's like leaning back and just like being quiet, being within your body. And that's when like everything starts bubbling up. It's the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't know. I think it's really cool.
Oh, I do too. So one question that I had after reading or listening to the book back again was, you talk about like, there are people that are shifters. So in big shift, but there are people that there are inherently they're shifters and there's certain characteristics that are define them to that. So that they love their personal time. They have a connection to animals. They have different issues with lights and loud music. That's only three of, I think you had like 17, but what were some of the other ones that were?
I think it also, again, goes back to childhood. Like when you think about how you were when you were younger, did you feel like you knew things? Some people see, you know, ghosts, like they're connected. Yeah. Like the veil is thinner between the two worlds. That sensitivity piece is huge. Like I have a hard time like walking into a Walmart, right? It feels intense to me. Being in super large groups, I can do it for a while, but like eventually like it grinds on me. Really important. Like if you're around the wrong people, if you're around like energy vampires and toxic people, toxic for you, like you will walk away from them exhausted. So there are all these hallmarks to being a shifter. And if you can like master that, if you can really, you know, use meditation or yoga or running or whatever to like really capture what that can do for you, then it turns into a superpower. If you let it control you, then your life is filled with suffering. And I always tell people, like, you cannot be around the wrong people. And if that means you getting divorced, quitting your job, moving, not talking to your family, I don't care what it is, like, because that will just drain you, especially the sensitive shifter. It's like, you cannot do it. You have to have boundaries.
You have to protect your peace at the end of the day.
You have to protect your peace.
So you can, I think though, if I'm interpreting this correctly, you don't necessarily have to be somebody that fits all the parameters of being a shifter to have a big shift in your life.
Mm-mm. No, but some people are more prone to it. Like, a lot of people will have a big shift in their life, or, like, you know, a loss or something. And maybe they just, like, take a different path where they just start drinking all the time or something like that. Because we're all going to have hard times, but I think the true shifter, like, somewhere in that pain, sees the opportunity and knows it's a way out. It's what they've been looking for since they were kids. You know, you're different when you're a kid. You just don't know what it is.
Yeah. There's a great book by Ryan Holiday, The Obstacle is the Way. And that it speaks a lot to that, of, like, recognizing even when things are, you know, physically, theoretically in the way, sometimes those are the signs of, like, you have to keep pushing past them. So signs don't always necessarily mean it's showing you, it certainly doesn't mean that it's showing you the easy way out of things. In a lot of cases, it's showing you the harder way out, but the repetition of those signs is showing you there's something to this and you need to pay attention to it.
100%.
Well, Val, this was a ton of fun today. And I also learned in listening back to the book that you have another book that I haven't listened to or read. And remind me and the audience the name of that one so that they can look that one up as well.
That one is Enlightenment is Sexy. That was the book where I quit my job and moved to write. I felt like I had to write it. And then I'm working on a third book about, like, enlightened hospitality.
But that, oh, wow. What a cool concept.
A minute to get through that one.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, that's, well, I mean, now you're, as Annie and I always say, you can't connect the dots looking forward. It's a Steve Jobs quote, but can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking back, and everything has prepared you for this moment. You are in the place that you were meant to be for a reason. And I think obviously everything that you've learned with those two books, now bringing that and putting the hospitality spin on it, will be really interesting to see. But I'm excited to read that and also read the Enlightenment is Sexy. So I've got a good repertoire to line up between now and when I see you next time. But so I'm going to see you and everybody else who's going to the women's conference, and Darm will see you in Nashville in just less than a month now. How exciting.
I know. It's going to be so fun. Cool.
What's the best way for anybody to reach out to you?
Well, the website is Juniper Holiday and Home. I also have a personal website. It's just ValerieGangas.com. And then I'm active on LinkedIn, so that's a great way to get a hold of me.
Yeah, for sure. We're part of the LinkedIn groupies.
It has been amazing. What a wonderful group of people again.
It's amazing. I mean, that's probably one of the things that I share the most often about, like, things that have helped me in my career over the last decade is LinkedIn. I mean, LinkedIn is a place where business people do business, but it's not even just business. That's where you have these conversations that lead to other things too. And I think
it's wonderful. You
know, we're all sick and tired of Facebook and everything that goes on there and other social media platforms, but for some reason, LinkedIn never gets old. But well, Val, thank you so much for coming on. This was a fun edition of Alex and Friends, where I'm going to get to have some other guests on the show on days that Annie is not able to record with us. So thank you for coming on. I know that Annie wished that she could have been here today. And
yes,
of course, she's a dear friend of yours as well. And I know she thinks as highly of you as I do. But in the meantime, if anybody wants to get in touch with Annie or I, you can go to alexandanniepodcast.com, and hope to see everybody at the upcoming Women's Summit and DARM. Until next time, thanks so much for tuning in, everyone.